Everyone, this is Parenting Unplugged. My name's Monica.
And this is Elisa.
And welcome back to our podcast. We're so excited to have you here today. So, for the next two episodes, this is going to be kind of like a special two-parter. And we really wanted to dedicate some space to talk about our breastfeeding journeys because, as we know, everyone's breastfeeding journey is so different person to person. Everyone has so many different stories to tell. And, breastfeeding is full of so many highs, but it's full of so many challenges as well. So what we're going to do today is we're going to spotlight on Elisa today, and we're going to be talking about, going deeper into her breastfeeding journey, and she can tell us a little bit about how that was for her.
Yeah, thank you so much, Monica. I'm super excited to share what my experience was like and, that whirlwind of a journey. It was so special, yet the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, let's kind of just start the podcast just talking about let's just talk about like when you first decided that you wanted to breastfeed Cammy. Was that a decision that you actively made when you was pregnant, or was that kind of just like a natural response that came after birth?
Yeah, so I mean, like generally speaking, I was trying to take a more natural approach to my pregnancy. So I think naturally I gravitated towards breastfeeding. And so I started looking into different resources when I was pregnant, speaking to midwives, to my midwife specifically. And I spoke to a cousin of mine because I knew she was actually able to breastfeed for an extended period of time. And she kind of gave me some insider tips on how she did it. So she kind of inspired me as well to breastfeed for a little longer.
Okay. And like when you made that decision using your resources and using your kind of natural mother instinct, did you have any kind of certain goals or expectations for your breastfeeding journey?
I mean, like, I think that overall the goal was for me to have a good experience. So
Hmm.
overall, I just wanted to have a good experience breastfeeding for myself and for the baby. So
Yeah.
I just kind of went into it with that mindset. I wanted it to be something special for both of us. And I was just trying to breastfeed for as long as I could. So I went into it saying, okay, I hope that it can be, a couple of months or maybe have it be even longer term if that's possible. So overall, that was the idea.
Okay. And I mean, this is also just a question for maybe those listening that are pregnant and expecting their first child or second or third. But is there anything that you can kind of like advise to our listeners of what you did to prepare for that breastfeeding journey?
Yeah, I mean, as far as preparing, I definitely seeking professional help. So I'm a huge advocate of lactation consultants. So I think that was one thing that I always had in the back of my mind that I wanted to connect with once the baby came. So I kind of had that in the back of my mind, like I wanted to seek that once the baby came, just in case if I needed it.
A funny story that just popped into my head is when I was just about to give birth to my Nawa, you actually gave me some lactating cookie mix, I think. So it kind of popped in my head, like, because I know you're big on nutrition, which is amazing. Like, did you have any of those thoughts, like when you were pregnant or even before you conceived?
So, I mean, while I was pregnant, I was just thinking about like, okay, I need to have like the snacks at hand at home to help me with like the milk production. So anything that was like oat based, I got like
Yeah.
a lot of oat cookies. I had avena at home once the baby came, and like all of those things to kind of like help me prepare for it. But aside from that, I had a few things at home that were going to help me once the baby came. So some of those things include, for example, my pumps. So I had my everyday pump, which is just like a traditional pump that I was going to use just in case I needed it, which I used the brand called Lansino.
Okay.
And that one was like my ride or die. It was, she
Yeah.
absolute blessing. She worked really, really well. And then I invested into something else a little bit longer term once I saw that like I was gonna be, doing my breastfeeding journey a little longer. I did get like a wireless one. But yeah, so
Okay.
I had my pump. I had some of like these like heating cooling pads for my breasts that I ended up using a lot because I had a lot of engorgement all the time. Oh, of course, the nipple creams. I had some like two different options of nipple creams. So those are just things that I had like on hand at home and in my like hospital bag too. That it
Yeah.
definitely I would recommend for sure.
That's amazing because I feel like, especially as a first-time mum, you really don't know what you're walking into. So I feel like, obviously, for seasoned mums that may be listening, they've kind of been there, done that, and they know exactly what to do. But being a first-time mum, you are kind of going off what people say, like the nipple creams or the heat and the cool patches that you can have for engorgement. Like, obviously, you don't know what that is because you've never been a mama before. So you do go through what people recommend, and I know you do a lot of research, as do I. So we do a lot of research online, and we find the products that are really good for whatever we're facing.
Exactly. And then you have your app too that is going to deliver within like 2 days, so always
Good
have
old
that on
Amazon
hand.
Prime.
Good old Amazon is going to deliver really quickly and it will come through with whatever you need in case you don't have it once the baby arrives.
Exactly.
But yeah, some of those things are like super important. I think like the nipple cream, people kind of underestimate the power of a nipple cream. I was smothering myself in nipple cream all the time just because like they were just so dry and it's just obviously your breasts are getting used to this like suction that was not happening before. So it's only natural for them to like be burning and for them to be like itching and just like all of those feelings. So definitely having that on hand and then, Amazon priming anything that you need as you go as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, breastfeeding is just, it's such a journey. Like, it is such a journey. And all the mums out there, who decided to breastfeed, they can definitely agree to that. I think maybe like the biggest question really that people are probably curious to ask is, what did it, or first question really, what did it feel like when they first put Cami on the breast for you?
It was kind of like a funny feeling. It was just kind of like a little bit of a pull, I think, and it was just like, okay, is this what it's gonna, it just felt like little like nibbles. And then eventually it started hurting. And then I was just like, ouch, kind of.
Yeah, it's very painful.
So the first it was like little nibbles. And then once she started like really learning how to suck, it did get painful. And then the one thing that I think that all mothers out there should know is that it shouldn't be painful forever. So it shouldn't be that. And
When
if
did it not get painful for you?
I think for me, once it started not getting painful when I seeked help. So when I was able to like get a lactation consultant and come see my latch in person and adjust Kami and kind of tell me like this is like how I need to open her mouth. This is how like maybe your partner can help and like help put her on the boob. Like Demo would come around and put her and like would hold her like a football and would come and like literally just like boom, but like put her on my boob every time. And that he learned through her help. Like we don't know these things on our own. So, I think that is pretty much how like that went about, like being able to like do it in that way that really helped me.
And it's also really important, I think, as well, and it's amazing when you have that support from your partner because the breastfeeding journey, obviously, it falls, almost entirely on the mother, for obvious reasons. But like having a supporting partner in all of this is also a game changer. And it was you were so like we are so blessed to have partners to support us through that. And I don't know. It must be really hard for mums out there to go through that without the support of their partner.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Monica, I can't even say I wasn't doing absolutely anything. I was literally having my gummy on my boob like every, you know how it is. They feed every like 2 hours when they're first born. So you literally are done breastfeeding. So then, the one thing that we did is I would pass Gami on to Demo and he would burp her. And then like next thing you know, she's on the breast again. It's like I couldn't do absolutely anything because I'm just sitting there trying to figure out my, breastfeeding Gami, putting her on my body, figuring out what it was like to do that. And so, I mean, like overall, I think that, when it comes to that, I think there's a lot of moving parts here. And there's a lot of things that are gonna affect everyone's breastfeeding journey. And that's like one thing that I definitely wanted to like put out there. So I think that if you having a supportive partner at home will definitely help in making that maybe easier for you or making it just like smoother overall. But I think as well, like one thing that a lot of people don't talk about is like maternity leave. What does that even look like for you? How long is your maternity leave? Some women in the United States, unfortunately, like only have like 2 weeks maternity, which is absolutely insane. So just because it's like on a state by state basis, and it's even like company to company basis. So, for example, the company that I work with now, they give us 6 months maternity, but that's almost unheard of, So obviously, a mom that's being able to be home with their baby for 6 months, well, you have those 6 months to figure out maybe your body and figure out if that's something that you can do. But if you're back at work in just like a matter of weeks, it's just like it's impossible. And having to carry the pump around, Jesus Christ, I hated the pump, So it was also like another whole like topic as well. So like I think there's a lot that plays here. And when you have to go back to the workplace and start dragging the pump with you, it also makes it a lot more challenging. And just like full disclosure, I didn't have to go back to the office until about Akami was like a year and 2 months, a year and a month. That is what really helped me in like being able to like elongate breastfeeding Gami, because I was home with her most of the time. She was home until she was 10 months old with us, and so once she actually started daycare, which was around the 10 month mark, I would just have her. I started pumping, so she would be in daycare, and I would pump, and I would be on Zoom meetings with my pump on, and but before the 10 months, I was working from home with her here, and I would just like latch her on. I had her directly on me. So I think it helps a lot when you can feed on an on-demand basis because you're just directly feeding the baby every time that they need it. But if you have like a pump, you have to remember to pump at every time that on demand for the every single time that your baby's supposed to feed, you're supposed to put that pump on. So, it is a lot harder. There's definitely, I think, the part about how long is your maternity leave for? How long is your partner's paternity leave for as well? Because okay, you're home, but how long, when is he going back to the office? And then of course, when it comes to breastfeeding itself, we have to think about like the baby's latch. Are there any ties? What about like, is there like tension in the baby's body? Like, there's a lot of different things that come to play here. And that's why like seeking professional help is like the ultimate thing. And it's, there's only so much you can learn from like books or from like social media. I think like professionals will really come in and help you. And that's what ultimately helped me. So,
And also just like getting your knowledge up, because I know you mentioned about a tongue tie, and know I had a slight tongue tie that went undetected, but I didn't know what a tongue tie was because, being a first-time mom, I just hadn't come across that terminology used in anything that I was looking at when I was pregnant. So like little things like that, especially tongue ties, it really affects if you can actually breastfeed, so they are huge things that you need to be able to detect. Because sometimes the reality is the healthcare provider does not detect it. I mean, I am living proof that that's what happened. So sometimes you cannot just rely on them just because of their title. It is, you've got to knowledge up yourself and try and have as much of that behind you. So, you've got that wealth of knowledge as well. But
Monica, let me tell you, you're really onto something here. You can't just rely on the healthcare professionals around you. You have to come in there with your own knowledge. Because, for example, In my case, and we're going to get into this in a few minutes. Camila's pediatrician, when I went in there and told her that, I was a little unsure about my milk supply, instead of her telling me to give the baby formula, she told me to go home and use a pump. So that is something that she did for me. But I know that not many healthcare providers are out there like doing that. And she also gave me the list of like lactation consultants that I could see that could come to my home. So like, okay, she did her thing. She did the right thing. But, we all know that not many doctors out there are willing to give you the resources. So like, they're just out there kind of just like providing, other solutions, but might not be out there really out there to help you. And that's why it's good to go in there with your own knowledge.
I tell you what, Elisa, like literally when you spoke about that situation, when you went to the pediatricians and they told you that, like I had like basically the same experience, and they basically told me I had to top it up with formula.
That's usually the
So
case.
that is basically what they shouldn't have done. They should have really kind of said, okay, well, is there an underlying issue here? And then they would have discovered there's a tongue tie, and they would have been able to do that really small surgery to release the tongue so he could latch finally. But unfortunately, exactly like you said, they want to take the easy way out, and the easy way out is to, unfortunately, like obviously in this case, using formula top ups or completely going on formula when it's against the mother's wish. Because in my case, I really wanted to breastfeed Noah, and we'll go into more of this in the next episode. But it's true, like you really have to do your own knowledge as well, because obviously they're a healthcare provider, but it depends person to person. You don't know if someone's having a bad day and they just they don't want to deal with that at that moment in time. You don't know if it's there's a lot of things.
For sure. It's funny because I was iffy about Camila's pediatrician. We kind of just like chose her by like doing a quick Google search, and this was our first appointment with her. So our first appointment with her, Camila was 3 days post. I was 3 days postpartum, 4 days. So I went to visit her, and I told her about I wasn't sure if Camila was feeding well. I'm like, she seems a little fussy, and she told me, "This is what you're gonna do. You're gonna go home and you're gonna put on the pump. Have you tried using the pump yet?" And I'm like, "No." She's like, "Use the pump." And I remember she was like very direct, and she's almost like very like dry, not very friendly, but she's very knowledgeable, and she will provide resources, and she'll provide alternate things to do so we could take the more natural route. And she's always kind of done that for us. But since that day that she kind of just like saved me by telling me to go use the pump, I'm like, okay, I'm locked in with you for life. Thank you. Because I had
That's
it. I just
amazing.
never thought of it. I just never thought of using it. I'm just like, I don't know. I thought I just needed to put her on, and that was gonna work. So
And those first few days are critical, because if you if you let it go on too long, as all mums know out there, the milk supply gets lower and lower, and you're into some you go into some deep waters there. So it is it's amazing to find someone who is knowledgeable, that knows their stuff, and they're willing to tell you like maybe the hard truths that sometimes you don't want to hear is sometimes it's needed.
No, I mean, she told me the honest truth. She told me to use the pump. She's like, "Let's see what happens. Come back in 3 days. If we don't see that your supply starts coming in and that, we don't see like what actually comes in from you the next couple of days, if you don't see much coming, then we might have to seek, formula." But she gave me the option first of going home to use the pump. And once I did, it was like a miracle because like it just started like flowing. Because I think that obviously Kami was still working on her latch. It wasn't she wasn't latching well. I didn't know what I was doing. And of course, that's when I used my pump. I came home, I called a lactation consultant, she came over. It was COVID, so they weren't doing like in vis in like actual like visits in person. Well, no, she did an in-person visit, but it was at home. Like it wasn't at her office or anything. So she came
Okay.
over and, she checked Gami's latch and everything. So I think it was a combination of that, of someone coming over, checking on the latch, and also giving me a little bit of a confidence boost. And a professional that's getting dedicated 100% to that. So
Yeah, and you need
that's
that. Like, that's needed.
Yeah. When you're just like lost in the waves of like newborn trenches, you definitely need that support.
Yes. Oh, wow. I guess my next question to you, Elisa, would through your breastfeeding journey, and I have always admired your breastfeeding journey for being able to breastfeed for so long, knowing how difficult of a journey it truly is. What would you say during your breastfeeding journey has been your biggest high and maybe your biggest low?
I think my biggest high overall was probably being able to feed Gami for as long as I could.
Yeah.
I think that was probably like the greatest achievement of all time for me, being able to feed her for as long as I could. And mind you, I could have still went on even longer, but I started carrying the pump to the office, and I'm like, I can't do this. I'm like carrying this pump to the office. I can't, like,
Yeah,
so
yeah.
that, and there was like a vacation coming, so I'm like, I really need to like free myself up from it. So I think that was the greatest achievement of me, for me, being able to feed Gami from my body, solely from my body for that long.
Yeah.
And I think that a low was probably how like painful the engorgement thought were, and how hard it got. How some days the engorgement was like so painful that I wanted to give up, that
Yeah.
I would like cry in the shower, and I would have to like I had to we had to call the consultant back in when Kami was like about a month or no like a, like about a month and a half old. We had to call her back in because Kami wasn't latching well, and I had to and I was like bleeding from like one side, and it was really painful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there were definite some moments that were really hard, but I think that kind of seeing past that moment and seeing like trying to see the bigger picture and seeking help, and
Yeah.
that is what like ultimately helped me. But it did. It got really hard, but I knew what I needed to do. I knew that when the engorgement came, it was just a matter of like applying a heating pad, giving that breast a break, and then pumping it out instead of latching Kami directly on. And the reason why I learned that is because of the lactation consultant. She gave me these tips, and she told me like, this is what you needed to do. And that was exactly it. I literally, I carried like
Yeah.
pad with me, even if I would like to go on trips and stuff like that. But I think that no one talks about how hard it is, how hard breastfeeding is, and you look at it as like a natural thing. And I know that for me, it wasn't natural. It was extremely hard. And I think it did get a little better, maybe like 3 or 4 months once like my like milk supply kind of like settled and everything. The waves of like not sure if your supply was gonna last kind of like settled in, and everything started going smoothly, and I started getting less of the like painful moments. I think that it got better then, but I think that overall, like, it was just like so many highs and lows, Monica. Like
Oh
it was
yeah,
like
no, I
a
know,
roller coaster. It was like a roller
yeah.
coaster.
That I think that is such a fitting word to use, like a roller coaster, because honestly, one minute you will be so high, just like looking at your baby while your baby is feeding from you and having all of this oxytocin rushing to your brain and just like completely in love all over again. And then you have those moments where like you're in the bath and the engorgement is so painful and you're just like, what am I doing? And I was going to ask you one other thing about that is, one thing I find that is very underestimated is the feeling of loneliness. Because breastfeeding is, I mean, it's a challenge. And like you said, especially when you're like in the newborn trenches, they are on and off the
Ugly.
boob so quick.
Yeah.
Like they might be feeding for a
It's all
good
you're
half an
doing.
hour, 40 minutes.
It's all you're doing.
And then literally off the boob, okay, your partner or yourself, whoever might burp him. And then before you know it, oh, the baby, and then like your partner's bringing you the baby again, and you're like, but both both my breasts are extremely sore right now. What do you want from me?
It's all
It's
you're doing.
all you're doing.
And
And
I felt, yeah, it's a lot. I felt like once Kami, I finally was able to like wean Kami off, which was like a very easy process. It was very natural when it happened for us. I felt like I
yeah.
got my body back, and I felt like also I got my life back as well. And I talked to other mothers, and I feel like for me, it took me a little longer for me to get my life back because of breastfeeding. Because breastfeeding was like a full-time job outside of having Kami. Breastfeeding full-time job on its own. I couldn't go to the supermarket because like Kami was like a year and a half, and I'm still like having to deal with it. Like, oh, if I go to the supermarket, I gotta be back quickly because my boobs are gonna be engorged and I have to feed Kami. Like, obviously, it was my choice. I wanted to do it. Kami didn't even have to be on breast milk anymore past a year. But it was definitely like a lot, a lot. It was like a roller coaster of things all the time.
And that's what it's like. It's so important to hear these like experiences and these emotions that we go through, because like you say, it's not recognized enough. I think people look at babies and they just assume the mother's going to breastfeed, and that's not necessarily the case. Like, you have no idea what's going on behind closed doors, as they say. You have no idea. And it's a huge journey. Breastfeeding itself is like,
It's a
it's a huge journey, full stop.
yeah.
And
Yeah.
it is all consuming, whether you do it for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years. It's all consuming, because all you think about is feeding your baby for
Yeah,
however
it's a
long you
lot of
do it
pressure.
for. And there's a lot of pressure.
It's a load of pressure. The reward is worth it. It is worth it. But it is a load of pressure on you that just birthed the baby with your body, feeding your baby from your body
Straight away.
straight away is, no break, just jumping right into it. I think it is a lot of pressure. And, especially if you don't have the right support system. And even if you do, it's still a ton of work. So I think that being able to breastfeed for 1 month or being able to breastfeed for an extended amount of time is an absolute blessing. Every day that you can do it is an absolute blessing. And that's the way that I looked at it. Every day that I woke up and I was still able to have that connection and breastfeed Kami, I counted it as like a blessing, like another day. So yeah,
Yeah,
mom.
no, definitely. Thank you for sharing that, Elisa. Some really good points made and like shared with everyone listening. And I think maybe just wrapping it up, what advice would you give new mums listening right now, in regards to breastfeeding?
I mean, I think like in regards to breastfeeding, there's I think that the one thing that I can go back to is seeking help. So you can't do it all. You're birthing a baby. And you can't possibly do everything yourself. You have to seek help from your partner. You have to seek help from a professional. And I think that, keeping it overall, going into it with like a very open mind and just kind of thinking like, okay, if you want to breastfeed, then you can go for it, but just go for it knowing that it will get hard, but eventually it will get better. So there will be better days, there will be harder days. But I think, just taking it day by day and kind of hitting the reset button at the end of each day and knowing that the next day, just kind of starting all over again and seeing like where your latch is and seeing, what needs to be fixed, or if you need to like see someone else, have someone else help you, or have someone else come clean the house while you can like, focus the day on breastfeeding or giving your breast a break by pumping, doing those things, or just giving up on like skin to skin overall, pumping, like, actually applying the baby directly on your skin. Maybe you just need to use the pump. And I know that there's a lot of moms out there that have just gone like directly on the pump itself and not actually like don't put the baby on. So that is also an option as well. So there's a lot of different options out there. seeking help and seeing what works for you. And also don't think about the pump. I think that the pump is really important. So if you're going to be, looking to like increase your milk supply, the pump is your friend. So that's definitely helped me.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Elisa. That's such like a wealth of knowledge, especially for any people that are listening, for someone they know that's pregnant, or someone that's pregnant first time around right now listening in and just kind of curious to see our viewpoints on what we're talking about in our podcast. It's just it's good to share like knowledge is wealth, so
Exactly. One thing
you
that I
have
wanted to
to
share, one thing that I wanted to share with the listeners is that if you are a new mother and if you are breastfeeding and if you are struggling with your breastfeeding journey, please feel free to reach out to me directly because I would be happy to help in any way that I can in like supplying resources or giving you snack ideas or just kind of like giving you a little bit of ease of mind or helping you in any way. I absolutely love to help new parents. So definitely feel free to reach out to me directly because I'm not a professional, but I do feel like I do have some advice and have some tips that I can share for those that are struggling and need some help.
Oh, that's amazing, Elisa. And everyone should have access to at least some kind of support network, whatever it is you're going through, but especially in this, this particular journey of breastfeeding. But that's amazing. So thank you so much for sharing your journey on breastfeeding, Elisa. It was very mindful, eye-opening, and a lot of knowledge as always. And I hope everyone listening out there has gained some knowledge along the way. That's what we like to do as well. We like to share our knowledge. But also, like Elisa said, feel free to reach out to us. If there's anything that you want to bring up, ask questions about, we are always, we have open doors, as we say. So always feel free to communicate with us. Next week, we are going to be dedicating the next podcast to my breastfeeding journey. My breastfeeding journey was a little bit different from Elisa's, so I think this is why it's so interesting to share both of the breastfeeding journeys. But we just did wanted to dedicate space one episode one at a time, so we had the space to talk about our experience uninterrupted. So I hope that you had fun listening to Elisa's experience. And please stay tuned for next time. And we are going to dive deep into what my journey looked like, the highs and lows, and everything in between. So thank you so much for joining, guys.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you so much for joining, and we will see you next time.
All right, bye.
Bye.